Good morning. It's September 13th, and this is your daily brief in U.S. news. Here's everything you need to know. New York City is taking a significant step towards addressing the legacy of slavery with the passage of a bill to establish a reparations task force. The legislation received strong support from lawmakers, passing with a vote of 41-8. This task force will be directed by the city's Commission on Racial Equity, which is tasked with proposing remedies for the historical injustices tied to slavery, including potential reparations. City officials have expressed their support for the legislation, viewing it as a crucial step in addressing systemic inequities that have persisted in the city. The task force will have a period of 12 months to finalize its recommendations, during which it will hold public hearings and work in collaboration with a designated city agency. Queens City Council member Natasha Williams highlighted New York City's historical role in the slave trade, countering the notion that the North was entirely liberal regarding slavery. Councilwoman Crystal Hudson emphasized the importance of identifying and addressing the racist policies that continue to affect the city's institutions today. This initiative aligns with a state-level bill passed last year to create a reparations commission. However, some lawmakers have raised concerns about the potential costs associated with the proposals. The city effort is not required to produce recommendations until 2027, following the establishment of the commission in 2021 under former Mayor Bill de Blasio. Hudson pointed out that the impact of slavery is still felt in contemporary issues, such as predatory lending and educational inequalities. More than half of the council members co-sponsored the bill, indicating a broad base of support among lawmakers. Despite this support, some council members, including Republican Joseph Borelli, have criticized the proposals, questioning the responsibility for slavery. Advocates view the bill's passage as a significant advancement in the ongoing struggle for racial justice and reparations. Donald Trump is facing significant legal challenges in Georgia related to his attempts to overturn the 2020 election results. He has been charged with illegal election manipulation, stemming from efforts to influence state officials. Last summer, Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis secured a 13-count indictment against Trump, but recent developments have altered the landscape of the case. A Georgia judge recently dismissed 3 counts in the election interference case, including 2 counts directly related to Trump. This dismissal brings the total number of charges dropped to 5 out of the original 13. Despite these dismissals, Trump still faces 8 remaining charges, one of which is a notable racketeering charge. Prosecutors allege that Trump and his associates pressured Georgia officials to violate their oaths of office as part of their efforts to overturn the election. The racketeering charge is particularly significant, as it is commonly associated with organized crime. Judge Scott McAfee had previously dismissed 6 other counts in March, but he noted that the state could potentially refile those charges in the future. The case has been on hold since June, while a Georgia appeals court reviews a motion to disqualify District Attorney Willis due to alleged misconduct. Arguments in the appeals court are scheduled for December, which means any progress in the case will likely be delayed until after the upcoming presidential election. Trump's legal team has been employing a strategy of delay, making it improbable that a trial date will be set in Georgia before the November election. In a bold initiative ahead of the 30th anniversary of the Violence Against Women Act, the White House has announced voluntary commitments from major tech companies to combat image-based sexual abuse. This effort specifically addresses the growing concern of deepfake pornography, with several AI companies pledging to take decisive action against this issue. The new initiatives also focus on tackling online harassment and providing essential support for survivors of domestic violence. President Biden revealed that the Justice Department will allocate over $690 million in grant funding aimed at enhancing protections for those affected by gender-based violence. Federal agencies are actively reminding survivors of domestic violence in federally funded housing of their rights, including the option to request emergency housing transfers. This initiative highlights a broader commitment to combat image-based sexual abuse, which disproportionately impacts women, children, and LGBTQI+ individuals. Experts, including Marianne Franks from the Cyber Civil Rights Initiative, assert that while these voluntary commitments represent progress, they are insufficient without accompanying legislation. a coalition of companies, including Bumble, Discord, and TikTok, has also announced voluntary principles to prevent image-based sexual abuse, committing to responsibly source datasets and remove explicit images from their AI training data. Digital rights organizations stress the importance of empowering individuals with control over their likenesses and promoting accessible tools for prevention and response. Advocates note that the Biden administration's focus on gender violence and online harassment signifies a notable improvement compared to previous administrations. These announcements, coinciding with the 30th anniversary of VAWA, underscore the ongoing necessity of protecting vulnerable populations from violence and abuse. The United States has announced its support for expanding the United Nations Security Council, a significant move that includes advocating for 2 permanent seats for African countries and a rotating seat for small island developing states. This announcement was made by U.S. Ambassador to the UN, Linda Thomas-Greenfield, during a speech at the Council on Foreign Relations, following President Biden's commitment to reform the Security Council. In September 2022, President Biden emphasized the importance of permanent seats for Africa and Latin America during a speech at the UN General Assembly, which revitalized discussions on Security Council reform. While the U.S. supports the inclusion of permanent seats for African nations, it opposes granting these new members veto power, citing concerns about potential dysfunction within the Council. The proposal for a rotating seat for small island developing countries aims to enhance representation for these nations, which collectively represent 39 states and 65 million people. The current structure of the Security Council, established in 1945, has not changed, consisting of 5 permanent members with veto power and 10 elected members serving 2-year terms. Any changes to the Security Council's structure require approval from 2/3 of the UN General Assembly, including the 5 permanent members with veto power. This initiative to reform the Security Council comes as the U.S. seeks to strengthen its relations with Africa and Pacific Island nations amidst growing Chinese influence in these regions. Thomas Greenfield highlighted that the current structure limits African countries' ability to contribute fully to international discussions, emphasizing the need for greater representation. Efforts to reform the Security Council have been ongoing since 1979, with significant pushes in 2005, but deep divisions among member states have stalled progress. Reforming the Security Council is complex due to varied opinions on its future composition and the status of veto power, despite widespread recognition of the need for change. Thomas Greenfield acknowledged the challenges of achieving consensus among all 193 member states while expressing hope that the U.S. proposal will advance discussions on reform. The Biden administration has made a significant decision regarding military aid to Egypt, allocating the full $1.3 billion without the usual congressional conditions tied to human rights. Secretary of State Antony Blinken confirmed that this military assistance will not be subject to the typical requirements aimed at improving Egypt's human rights record. The rationale behind waiving these conditions is framed around national security and the need for regional peace, particularly in light of the ongoing conflict in Gaza. The U.S. views Egypt as a key player in mediating discussions between Israel and Hamas regarding a potential ceasefire, making this funding decision crucial. Despite the allocation, recent reports from the State Department indicate that there have been no significant improvements in Egypt's human rights situation. Democratic Senators Chris Coons and Chris Murphy have publicly criticized the aid release, pointing out that Egypt has not demonstrated meaningful progress in human rights, with a greater number of political prisoners being jailed than released. Human Rights Watch has noted that while some political prisoners have been released, the overall trend shows an increase in repression. The State Department has acknowledged that Egypt released over 950 political prisoners since September 2023, but emphasized that more action is needed. President El-Sisi has denied the existence of political prisoners, defending strict measures as essential for combating terrorism. It's important to note that part of the military aid, $225 million, remains conditional on Egypt meeting broad human rights standards, while $95 million requires progress in the release of political prisoners. Nonetheless, concerns continue to mount over the Egyptian government's record of human rights abuses, including arbitrary killings, torture, and the repression of civil society. This has been your daily brief in U.S. News. To read more about these stories, follow the links in the episode bio. You can also subscribe to these updates via email at www.brief.news. For more daily podcasts about the topics you love, visit brief.news/podcasts. We'll be back Monday with everything you need to know.